Bruce Williamson is from Rail Future, which campaigns for better rail services for both passengers and also for freight.
I'd rather the money was spent on rail, because rail represents a much better investment, basically. You know, people think, well, look, OK, we get rid of that bottleneck, get the traffic moving again and everything will flow, and it never works. You build more roads, they fill up, you build more roads, they fill up, you build more roads, they fill up. It goes on and on and on, and I think it was Einstein who said, you know, that the example of stupidity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. You'll build these new roads, they'll get congested, and you know, the bottleneck will appear somewhere else. So, you know, we think rail is a better investment, really, yeah. And there are numerous examples, sadly all too rare, but where the government invests in rail, it pays dividends.
People have, of course, been wanting this upgrade for decades, not years, though. Does public demand play any part of our decision-making, or should it?
Yeah, I think public demand, is a sound thing for governments to take into account. But there's also public demand for rail reopenings. And obviously, you've got the obvious example of the Okehampton-Tavistock thing, which has been thrust into this spotlight because of the problems at Dawlish. And, beaching is largely seen as the bad guy, and the public wants better investment in rail as well.
Don't we deserve both, really?
Up to a point, yeah. I'm not one of these sort of idealists who pretend that roads don't exist or that we can do without them. But with the longer term, the price of crude oil is probably going to go up, and electric railways or even diesel railways are much more fuel efficient. And there was another thing that the government sort of have conveniently dropped. Do you remember ages ago they said they were going to be the greenest government ever? Well, green-flavoured governments don't build roads.
You say it makes financial sense as well. Without blinding us with a huge pile of statistics, I mean, how much better value roughly are railways compared with roads then, in your opinion?
Precisely 38.6%. No, I don't know. I can only talk in sort of the generalities of where you open railways. Or invest in railways, and you know, the result is that the passengers use them, and a knock-on effect of that, which affects road users, is that the roads become less congested, because people are choosing alternative forms of transport. If you offer them these alternatives, they will use them. So you could even argue that rail investment is actually beneficial for the roads network as well.
What about freight? I mean, we'll never be able to move all the stuff around that we want to by rail, will we?
No, not all of it. I mean, obviously, the delivery to your doorstep has to be done by road. But the longer distance stuff, there is actually quite a lot of potential for freight to move by rail. And there have been some success stories as well. It's not well known, but privatization of freight seems to have worked really well. And freight is actually increasing. But nonetheless, there is huge scope for that to increase further. And that requires investment.
You mentioned the Okehampton situation. Of course, we wait to hear what's going to happen, if anything, apart from repairing Dawlish down here.
Yeah.
What's the latest you have? How optimistic are you guys about rail improvement in the southwest?
Well, I mean, I think it's important for us to keep the pressure on, because I think it would be very easy for the government to sort of conveniently forget this and delay it, and then, you know, maybe Dawlish will be fine for another 20 years, and then the same thing will happen again. We've got to keep the pressure on. There must be an alternative route, and personally I prefer the Okehampton-Tavistock alternative myself.
Bruce Williamson from Rail Future, which campaigns for better rail services,